Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hello, all the hags, hags of the world, unite. Unite inside your headphones or computer or car stereo or wherever you listen to us.
Or out loud. With
out loud.
Blasting out as you are rollerblading down.
On your boombox.
Whatever street you're rollerblading on, do it up. West End, Vancouver.
Côte d'Azur.
I love it.
Love
wherever.
It.
Blast it from the rooftops. Show your hag colors. Fly your hag flag.
Your hag colors shining through.
Do we need to? Maybe we need to design a hag flag.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hag flag. Screw tote bags. Hag flag.
Yes. We should do a contest.
Yes. Hags.
Show us your best hag flag and we'll pick the best one. And then we'll get them made for your cars. Like you, like those stupid Canucks flag.
You put in the windows?
Yeah,
it's
gonna,
it's gonna be the like the math sign for tangent with like a wig on it.
Yeah. There we go.
One for tangent.
I have no idea.
I was just gonna go with it. I'm just nodding like, I don't know what that is.
I get it. I like it.
Sure. Sounds great.
It's mostly, this is a tangent based podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or I thought maybe headphones with a wig.
Ooh, that would be good
too. Fierce wig. Anyway, episode 38, before we get too carried away. Oh, I didn't even get that out before we're already on a tangent.
Yeah.
Episode 38. It's the end of April. Well, mid-April, but the time you're beginning this, it'll be the end-ish of April. Weather still fucking sucks here in Vancouver.
But guess what? There's still two more days to get your hag shirt.
Yes.
This is your last chance. And hopefully... Well, I mean, hopefully by now we actually have sold out, but we still have a few left as of this recording, which is a bit ahead of time. So get
the
hell on it right now.
So the last day to buy it will be the 29th.
I'm placing the official
and
order
that's
on
when we're
the afternoon
closing,
of the 29th.
Closing the web shop and putting in our order. So thank you so much, everybody who's ordered already.
Thank you.
So exciting.
We have the nicest customers, people.
This is great.
So many people have written us, like out of the people who have ordered from us, I think there's maybe two that haven't written like
included
a nice
little
message.
Yeah,
it's the best.
Thank you.
I love it so much.
It's
you
nice
guys
to know.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's every nice time I get an order on my phone,
people
I'm like,
out there. Yeah, every time I get a notification for the Fashion Hags email account, I'm like, is it spam or is it a shirt?
Yeah, is it somebody wanting to increase our
web presence?
Our web presence or.
Things to follow on Tumblr. I'm like, I set up that Tumblr and then we never used it again.
No.
So I really need to unsubscribe to that shit.
Yeah.
But we have it. We might as well hang on to it even though we never use it.
But I don't need the emails.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
Fuck those emails.
Fuck you, emails.
Fuck you.
But we love your emails.
Yeah, we'll keep those coming.
Yeah, those are, please
we
keep
like those
coming.
We like those.
Those are fine. From actual people, that's
from
fine.
From human persons and not from a robot.
No bots. Yeah,
exactly.
No bots.
Hey, unless you're a super fierce fashion robot, then I'm all for it.
Yes.
2017, people.
Claudia Schiffer.
With Schifferbot.
Schifferbot.
I'm into that. That I can get behind for sure.
Marvelous.
So yeah, go get your shirts if you can. Hopefully this will be a few left after this episode, but get on it.
Get on it. We love it.
And then we'll ship them out and then they'll be yours and you can wear them for the spring.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Yes. Once you can actually just wear a t-shirt and not have to put a sweater and a coat and a raincoat and an umbrella and a fucking hat and ugh.
And then have a giant bag so that when the sun comes out, you can strip off and wear just
you're
the t-shirt.
Totally overheating.
Because you're completely overdressed.
Because that's what it's like here in Vancouver. Where it's everything every 5 minutes and you are woefully unprepared no matter what.
Regardless, yes.
Yeah. Like you have to have your sunglasses and your umbrella and a hat and like a coat, but then also like layers underneath. And your coat should be waterproof, but then also like it gets too warm to wear like a real waterproof. Anyway, it's a hot mess.
At least it didn't snow. It snowed in Edmonton yesterday.
Yes, it did. It snowed a bunch.
Gross.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And I'm talking from somebody who loves the snow.
Yeah.
And that's disgusting.
But April, come on.
Get it together.
Get it together. Actually, I just went home for Easter and got to do a couple days of skiing. And the skiing was as good as I have ever skied at Marmot. And it was April.
Yeah.
The snow was February snow and fresh and beautiful and light and fluffy and amazing.
And not wet and gross and heavy.
No.
And, yeah,
it was
melting.
So good. It was so great. So once the ski hills close, it's like, okay, now enough's enough.
Yeah, there we go.
Now I'm ready to suntan.
Playtime's up.
Get it together.
Now you're just being rude.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, let's start with Evan, sir. What have you can kiki?
I can kiki about a really cute event I went to last night.
It's real cute.
Really cute.
Or as my daughter would say, them so cute.
Yeah.
Them so cute.
Went to an event at Park Royal. At the Simon store.
Which is a big mall up in
West Vancouver. Very posh. But the guest of honor was Miss Pamela Anderson.
Oh.
Canadian icon.
Yeah, I mean,
BC icon.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was a launch for Vivienne Westwood's Save the Arctic t-shirt and campaign with all proceeds going to... I think it's Greenpeace. I'm doing a horrible... V's going to like be screaming into her headphones because I'm doing the wrong...
you were just too busy being in love with
I was
camp.
Too busy schmoozing.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was an amazing night. The t-shirts were on sale and all the proceeds of everything that was sold at Simon's that night was donated to Greenpeace.
Great.
Really?
100% of the proceeds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For
awesome.
All of Simon's?
For all anything you bought in the store for that evening.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So there
Simon's
was,
is a cool company.
They are, yeah.
If you're not
cool
familiar, stuff. I don't know if anyone in the States would necessarily be familiar.
No, it's Canadian.
It's just Canadian. It's a big department store that's been around for a long time, owned by the same family. Family owned and operated.
Peter Simons.
Yeah. And
Mr. Simons was there last night.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's a really cool, and they have like their own brands, but then they also sell like Acne and Vivienne Westwood and like.
Really cool like mid-market brands that you'll never hear of from Japan and like.
They have great
around
stuff.
The world, like Australia and like Eastern Europe and all these places.
And also a big focus on art and local artists and artwork. Like they're part
there's
of
a
their
big Douglas Copeland piece above the escalators in the store and some Bobby Burger's pottery flowers and stuff. And
part of their mandate on new stores is art-based. It's specifically like that has to have
that
right
area.
Number
and,
of
and also
areas,
every Simon store that's going to be built starting with their store that's being built in Edmonton right now is going to run on solar energy.
The one in Edmonton is already there. Are they redoing it?
They're opening a second one in Edmonton.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
Sweet.
So, who knew Edmonton had a fashion
had
base?
Enough to do them?
Well, I guess like Edmonton doesn't really have that much. So in comparison to Vancouver, which has Nordstrom and Holtz and like a million boutiques.
Right, the tiny little stores. Yeah, yeah.
But like there's still a lot of amazing things you can get at Simon's that you can't get anywhere else. Like
that's
all those
true.
Mid-market brands that I was talking about. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, Pam, like she did like this amazing speech. She went in on the Trudeau government and like called them out on all their bullshit, which is like...
They talk a big
like,
game.
Me and Willow
not.
Were like holding each other up. We're just like, my knees were buckling and like, I was like squawking and like, just like.
Clapping and crying.
Clutching your pearls.
Clutching each other and just like, like barely being able to breathe. Like, just like the sleigh that is going on. She wore an amazing Vivienne Westwood dress.
Yeah,
of
that
course.
Dress was cool.
So cool. But yeah, just had a really cute evening.
That's cute.
Brought a couple pals with me.
Good times. Got to schmooze. Got to hang out.
Yeah. Met the buyer, one of the buyers for Simon's.
That's fun.
Did some networking too.
Networking.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get your name in there.
And I did a full Evan Ducharme look, of course.
You did? I saw your quilted jacket.
I was boiling fucking hot in that quilted jacket. It was between the floor length black one, which like drags on the ground, and it was raining, so I didn't want to wear it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be like holding my jacket up and like walking,
tiptoeing around.
But I definitely should have worn that one. It would have been much more chic, but.
You looked great.
I digress.
There you go. You got to suffer for fashion.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Oh, well, that's the thing. I'm happy.
Oh,
I'm happy
and I also ran into Parker Posey.
Oh, yes. Dave was going to kill me if you didn't tell the story. Because you teased it.
Yeah.
And then we didn't get any details.
I ran into her at the Urban Fair in Olympic Village.
Okay. Yeah. Which is like a fancy
literally
grocery
almost,
store.
Literally almost ran into her. I was looking at the cold pressed juice section.
As you do.
As I do. And I turned around and almost like bailed over top of her shopping cart. The only thing she had in her shopping cart were three cases of club soda. and like a bag of chips.
Love it.
Yeah. And then there's like two Urban Fare employees like running behind her, like helping her find stuff. And she's like, I need almond butter. Like, where's the almond butter? And you could tell she was trying so hard to be incognito, but like, she was wearing like a floor length tapestry jacket and like a Rasta beanie, but it wasn't like Rasta colors. It was like beige and like sea foam and pale pink and like gigantic Prada, like not Prada, but Gucci sunglasses, like new season Gucci sunglasses.
Nice.
And like that, I heard her voice
super
first.
Super incognito.
Yeah, super incognito. Like looking real fucking crazy.
Real kook.
And then I just like watched her from afar for a while. Yeah. And I was just like,
as
if
you
weren't being crazy right now, I would ask you to take a selfie. But I'm just gonna...
Don't want
to
intrude on your vibe right now.
We're definitely...
I'll let you find your almond butter, lady.
We're manifesting Parker Posey into our lives.
We're 2 for 3. I need to get out more. Yeah. I need to go and hang out some places. Get out of my own house.
Oh. Find out if she has a dog and go to the dog park.
Oh, she does have a dog. Yeah.
Find out what dog park she's gonna go to. Let's see. I'm just hanging out. I saw Gillian Anderson at the dog park once. It was pretty great.
Ooh, that's a good spotting.
Yeah.
She had a French bulldog. It was super adorable.
That's
and it
pretty
played
good.
It so cool. It was great.
But you were dying on the inside.
But I'm totally dying on the inside. Trying desperately not to bail into a pile of dog shit. Because I'm too busy like trying to look at her, but not look at her. You know.
Yeah.
So you have your...
Like me with Parker Posey.
You have your mirror out, like you're doing your makeup, or like...
Yeah.
You go to the... Yeah, you go to the dog park with no makeup on at all, and then you leave...
Sit on the bench.
You leave completely fully made up like a drag queen because you had to sit and look at the mirror the whole time. No, I'm just doing my makeup.
Mascara? Yeah. More mascara?
Yeah.
Okay.
More blush. Contour.
Highlight.
Hi, Jillian. I'm a big fan. Love
your work. Oh man, this was back when she was doing the X-Files when she was here. Good times.
Gillian Anderson is always snatched, always like the brows up.
She looked great. Like she just had like a sleek ponytail and then
she looked rested.
Workout pants and going to the dog park with her little blonde Frenchie.
There's an amazing photo of her making the rounds on Tumblr of her wearing like a sheer dress to like one of the premieres for X-Files back in the day.
Nice.
So good.
She's so cool.
She has like a little wrap, like that like 90s matching wrap
sure.
to evening gown.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Yeah, there's a bunch of that happening.
It's like a sheer navy blue in her like
red hair.
Ginge hair. Yeah, so good. Talking about premieres and red carpet looks, are we going to skip somebody for Kiki? Are we done Kiki?
No, we can talk about Katie and I. We did something together.
Yeah, we played
co-workers. I tried to do a transition. It didn't work, so I can't be trusted with those.
It's fine. That's okay.
We still love you. Don't worry.
Yeah, we played co-workers. It was fun.
To go and hang out and like a work, like professional
like
capacity.
A work event. I know. Not like sitting in a basement talking smack. It was really fun.
For free.
Yeah, we went to the factory that the company that I work for that we get our stuff produced because you are going to be helping along with that company in part-time capacity, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back in the workforce a little bit. I wasn't planning on it and then the opportunity landed in my lap and I'm like, I would love to work with you.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I can make this work.
You can make it real easy.
Yeah. And it just so happens that the first thing I got to do was go to like the factory and help with quality control and...
It's called a QC.
A QC.
Well, that's what we call it. Anyway, you can call it whatever you want, but
yeah, there
that's
you
what
go.
We call it. QC.
But it's nice because everything's made in one factory here in Vancouver. So it was cool, like going to a factory of a room full of sewing machines and people.
I know we didn't have time to like go and look at the cutting table, which was kind of too bad because the cutting is
pretty cool,
pretty dope.
Yeah.
But it was kind of fun because you brought Poppy.
Yes.
So we traded off. We couldn't bring her out onto the floor, which I was hoping we would be able to because it would have made things a little smoother. But I got to hang out and have some one-on-one time with Poppy and traded out. And it was super fun. And it was cool. We got
going over all the new styles and all the old style, you know, making sure everything looks right, making sure that all the sizes are okay, that the small is different than the medium and all the finishing
and in the right way
and you know, and the tags are right and it's not sewn inside out and all these things. And so I got to see like the classic things that get made and then also some new things that I hadn't seen yet and touch all these beautiful fabrics and
it's fun when
it's
you
cool
see,
to see the whole process
when you get to see the fabrics like as a like as a swatch to start. You're like, ooh, this is
sure,
nice.
But whatever, trying to imagine 2 by 2 inch piece or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to imagine it on like full garment. And then you see the whole garment. You're like, oh my God, this fabric is so amazing. Yeah. I want to live in this.
But even then there were some things that we were talking about how, oh, this particular piece in this fabric is awesome. But then if it's in this other piece, it's like, isn't I don't like it as much.
Yeah.
But there's something about, you know, each fabric working with a different piece and different design and more simple, yeah, more complex, more feminine, more unisex. Like,
and what, in terms of construction as well, like how, like this piece that we have with this detail in particular will work in a nice light, kind of a sheer fabric, but will not work in like a heavy, sturdier or, you know, something like that. So. Yeah, it's cool to see it all.
And it was
together.
Cool to see all the different, like, there was things that were still bundled that weren't finished and things that needed tags and things that were all ready to go and steamed all on the rail and, like, things that were already packed up in the plastic, you know? Yeah. Like, it was so cool to see all the different shapes and then all these people fucking hustling.
Yeah.
Like, they're working. It was mostly men. There was mostly ladies, but there's a few men in there, too.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting there at their machines, just bang, bang, banging it all out.
And it's pretty, as far as factories go, it's a very clean, pretty organized factory, and it still looks super chaotic.
Oh my God, it's still a huge mess.
It's pretty, the range of what a factory can look like is pretty vast.
I bet. Yeah. And it's not that big of a place either.
No. But they're upgrading. It's kind of,
well, there you go.
Kind of a good thing, and keep that, we need more of that locally. We need more stuff being made in these smaller areas. Like, Vancouver's not a huge fashion hub. But
we do have quite a few factories, though, in town, right?
There are quite a few. There's way less than there used to be, but
I bet.
If we can keep them going here, it's
that'd be great. If we could just find people who will work in that, in that
that's
capacity, the that'd be great, right? Because now it's all older women. Like, there wasn't a person under 35.
No. Yeah, we were definitely the youngest people there.
And all the ladies that were working there and all the guys were, you know, our parents' age almost, you know?
Yes.
Maybe a little bit younger.
Yeah.
But, you know. We need another Sophie.
You need the next round, yeah.
Do the next. So well, if you want, go to school and learn to sew.
Yeah, the thing is, like, when people go to fashion school now, they want to go to fashion school to become
glamorous.
Like Kanye West or Rihanna. They don't want to go to become a garment maker. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's not the motivation anymore.
To be the guy pressing 500 shirts at the back of the room.
No.
And that's a super important job.
Yeah, because...
Oh my God, it's so important.
Yeah. It's insane.
Pressing is so important.
Even the company I work for, like, it's impossible to find people who will... who like just want to do that for work. Like it's very difficult
to
find
other
anyone.
Aspirations.
Anyone.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like the people who do that work for the company that they've worked for.
I was going to say it. Sorry.
When they do that work, it's like they've been doing it for a company that they've worked for forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're very comfortable and they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's, I think part of it comes back to the fact that garment manufacturing is not a trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not considered a trade.
There's no union.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's nobody promoting it. There's nobody telling you people, high school age students, hey, you can make a really good living.
And you should be able to.
And you should,
because there's high demand for garments, obviously. Yep.
And especially nowadays, I mean, our stuff, the stuff that was made in this factory, you know, by the time you get to the retail price of it, it's not necessarily cheap things.
No.
But that's part of its whole, that's part of the whole structure of the brand is that it's made here and then you pay those prices.
Yeah.
But people will pay those prices. Yeah. Like, you're getting orders.
Yeah.
People are calling.
The company exists.
And continues to exist and grow because that, you know, mid-level, mid to high level is exploding right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you buy quality, it lasts.
And you'll be very happy with your products.
Yeah, I was talking to Miriam last night about how...
Miriam LaRoche
of Eco Fashion Week, founder of Eco Fashion Week. She
just was talking... Just a little name drop?
Yeah, I was
just
talking to her. I was
just, right in the tea?
Yeah, I was talking to her last night about how having a story around your brand is like vital these days.
Especially these days, people care.
Yeah, because you need to educate
to
the
stand
customer
out
to
from somebody else and make you care.
There's a lot on a bunch of the blogs and stuff, like on the New York Times Style and the fashion section of the New York Times. Like, there's been a bunch of articles in the last little while about exactly that and how companies have to
and
edge
social
up
media.
It's not so much about a fantasy anymore; it's about a story.
Yeah,
but for so long it was the fashion. They say it's aspirational, like it's something you you want to be or you long to be a part of or you dream of doing. Like, it's all very abstract, whereas now
it needs to be inspirational.
It needs to be inspirational and educational. Like, mm-hmm. you need to educate your
consumer
about what you do, why you do it, how you got there. I mean, even now with I was looking at some Instagram stories yesterday for Earth Day, and there was a bunch of brands talking about what they specifically, they're getting rid of water bottles in their offices, or they use reusable or recycled packaging and stuff. And like, that's the stuff that you mm-hmm. need to do to make yourself stand out.
Have you heard
nowadays.
About H&M? H&M by the year 2030 wants to be, I might get this wrong, but I don't have my notes in front of me about it, but they want to be basically the greenest company there is. Like, they want to be able to run all their companies
really
on electricity,
high.
Like on no oil-based
Renewable resources.
And they also want to be the biggest the biggest user of organic cotton. Like, they want to bring organic cotton and really control the environmental impact of their raw materials and how they get to become a H&M shirt.
Yeah.
So they're, I mean, hopefully that'll catch other people on, because
they can reduce their polyester intake.
Yeah.
Well, Miriam LaRoche has been working with H&M, so I wonder where they're getting those ideas
Interesting.
From.
Huh. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, they've been one of the forerunners for this sort of thing, and at this point, if they talk a big game.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, they have absolutely no excuse when you have that much capital at your disposal to make changes.
And resources and infrastructure and... You know?
The problem is getting customers to follow
understand.
Suit and to get on board.
Yeah.
And to want to buy less.
Yeah.
And buy better.
Oh, they're not doing it so people will buy less clothes. They're doing it so people will buy more clothes.
I know. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But baby steps.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
It's not part of their eco recipe to be small batch.
No.
Yes.
We're still in the baby steps.
Yeah.
If any steps at all.
Yeah.
At this point. I mean, I think I was looking at, it was a business of fashion article that I saw that was maybe the same one or something on the same subject, and I was like, oh, I'll read the article. Awesome, that's super great, I'm so excited, this is so hope. There's hope. And then reading all the comments, and then just got so deflated again and being like, fuck you, H&M, you're the problem, you created this problem, you're the worst. And I'm like, but they're trying to be optimistic and supportive, and then like, of course, don't never read the comments, because I just got that hope balloon just shot right down. Oh, well. Anyway.
Well, I just wanted to, before we move on to the Met Ball, which is what we're going to talk about.
Very timely episode.
I want to give two shout outs to two random strangers that I saw on the street in the last 2 days.
Oh, yes.
Biking home from work yesterday and then biking here today.
Yes.
I saw, generally Vancouver fashion as a whole is a pathetic mess of yoga pants and sweatpants and lazy sloppiness and
board shorts and
shirts off and tank tops, and it's gross.
And a Ritzier Urban Outfitters hybrids.
Yes.
But like
cookie cutter.
But with yoga. Like, but with like
outdoors.
And a
blanket scarf.
Yeah, a lot of blanket scarf.
Yeah.
It's more lazy than
yes.
It's trying to be lazy. It's like lazy chic or trying
to
be
lazy.
Trying to
be effortless, but it's lazy.
But it's lazy. Yes. Yeah. So it's not great.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a great
Leave something
reputation.
To be desired.
So yesterday I saw this woman who was like maybe 5'1", super, super short.
Little lady.
Super, super short hair.
Mm.
Like dark black, what's the name of that model, that black model from like the late or the mid 90s or late 90s, I guess, from Calvin Klein. She was in Calvin Klein. She was in a whole bunch of things. Mm. Super, super, super dark skin. She has like an
Alec Weck?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Skin like hers, like flawless, beautiful, really dark. And she wasn't really wearing any makeup. And she's like little tiny. She's like kind of round, like wasn't super skinny or slim or anything, but like
a regular, like
just
human
a
woman.
Regular
yeah.
human
yeah.
wearing this like super badass pair of like architectural heels.
Oh, yeah.
Shoulders back. This really cool, like angular cocoon style kind of jacket and skirt. Like it was kind of big, and she wasn't tall, so it like made like she had like a presence.
She had a shape
and like owning this street with a bunch of schlubs walking downtown and just fucking turned the crosswalk into a runway, fucking owning it. I was
beautiful.
Like, yes, more of you. Like you are
bravo.
I am pumped. It makes me want to take off my dumb jeans and t-shirt and like go buy some wacky
real cool.
So shout out to that super badass lady.
Excellent. Because
she pumped me up and gave me hope for the future of Vancouver. And then just this morning on my way over here, I was biking down the seawall and I saw this guy, and I'm always people watching on the seawall. Oh, let's be honest, it's dog watching.
Mostly dogs, but there's people attached to the dogs, mostly.
I'm like dad watching on the seawall.
So this guy's walking, yeah, and he's, you know, nice looking guy, Asian guy, has this nice, like, leather, beigey kind of jacket, like, pretty standard, nice, like, dark frame, well put together, nice pair of jeans, whatever, and then has the sassiest walk, and he is wearing the tallest, goldest, glitteriest high heel shoes I have ever seen on a man outside of a drag show. I was like, just in the middle of the afternoon.
On the
seawall. Like, yes! Yes! The seawall is your runway, girl. It was
sashay.
And
he was sashaying, and I was like, yes, own it. And he was walking with some other lady, whatever, sure. Some pal, and they were
having
just
a day.
It was just going through his life, and I was like, yes, more of this. This pumps me up. And I wanted to, like, give him a high five, but, like, this is your high five. Yeah, buddy, exactly. This is your high five.
Good for
Keep
you.
Keep doing it. It was awesome.
You do you, buddy.
I want to see more dumb, gold, glittery shoes on the seawall, because there's no reason not to.
Oh, was it like a Ziggy Stardust heeled boot type shoe?
No, it was like a sandal shoe.
Like a stiletto.
Like, not a, like, it was not a thin, tiny.
A sandal.
Yeah, it was like a block heel. That was
love
awesome.
Oh,
the platform, like maybe a 1.5-inch platform.
Oh, man.
It was amazing. I was like, doing like the top to bottom. I was like, oh, this is guy. Like, my God. Yes, honey.
You crash
you
into
go,
the,
girl.
Crash into the
Drive
wall.
Into a tree.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was sweet. I really appreciated that. So thank you to both of those people for inspiring my faith in humanity.
And plus, like I said, the weather's super shitty. So I haven't been able to get out like your summer, spring clothes.
Yeah.
We're all so sick of our winter wardrobes. Every combination has been exhausted many times over.
Yeah,
I want to get out my shoes that I don't need socks for, and I want to, you know, not put a big coat on. And
yeah, we'll get there. Hopefully by May.
Oh, God, gold hopefully. Sandals, yeah. Here we come. Yeah.
Gold platform heels, here we come.
Well, gold platform heels, that's a good segue.
Yes.
Where else would you wear gold platform heels?
To the
Met Gala. Up those giant fucking stairs at the Met Gala.
If it takes you 45 minutes to go up that stairs, that's just more photos.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. More opportunities for people to take your picture.
I want
talk shit and talk smack and talk about
and
you.
Smile
and
in your face and
you.
Talk shit behind your back. You look great. Oh, my God. But the first Monday in May every year is the Metropolitan Museum.
Costume Institute Gala
in New York City.
Typically, it's a fundraiser.
Yes.
But attached to the fundraiser is
the Super Bowl.
Basically, the
of
red
fashion.
Carpet. Yeah.
It is. It's the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl of
the
fashion.
The Super Bowl. Bambi Bella the Ball.
So, we've talked about the movie, The First Monday in May. I believe it's still available on Netflix. I actually should have checked.
Yep, it is.
It's still available on Netflix. About how this happens every year. You'll if you pay any attention to anything fashion related,
it's going to come up.
The first week in May, you're going to see some pictures of some beautiful people in crazy, beautiful clothes on a giant staircase. With a red carpet, getting their picture taken.
Some people have no business being there except for the fact that they have piles and piles of money and will get a good picture taken. Yeah. In fact, I looked at a stat. I forget where I saw this, but if you are on the guest list, like if you're invited by basically Anna Wintour,
yes,
decides on the guest list. And I think there's about 600 to 700 people invited, like on the guest list specifically. And it's this huge gala dinner and whatever and cocktails and stuff. But if you are not on the guest list, a ticket to go to the event is $25,000.
Oof.
They upped it by $10,000 from last year or from 2 years before. I think this was in 2015, the stat came from. They upped it from $15,000
to $25,000
to make it like even more exclusive.
To weed out the riffraff.
Yeah, exactly.
The rabble.
And obviously to make more money, but it was like, no. This is not for you heathens. This is for the rich and the pretty.
It's not you kind of rich people. No, it's for you super rich people.
Yeah. It's you hella rich rolling in buckets of money.
And all this money, all this money does end up, it goes to the operating costs of the museum. Like, it's not lining anybody's pockets necessarily. It's for this giant, huge museum or a big wing of the museum, because the Metropolitan Museum is a museum on its own, but then it has its own wing, which is the Anna Wintour wing. That's where the Costume Institute is. And it's just a huge museum devoted to textiles and fashion and clothing and design and
it's so cool.
All sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And they have a different exhibition every year. And the Met Gala is the thing that kicks off the big exhibition for the year. That then all the millions of tourists that come to New York over the summer will go get to see.
And it runs from May till like October, I think.
Yeah.
Usually. And then they spend the winter doing the new one and getting a new one, whatever. Yeah.
And this, because these are huge undertakings. Again, like if you watch this video, the by the first Monday in May, it's the mountain of work that these people have to do to make this happen on every level. It's so complicated,
and it's basically thanks
you need
to,
a year. You need years.
Yeah, it's basically to thanks to Diana Vreeland too.
Yes.
Sort of when she got her hands on that.
When she was hired to work for the Costume Institute.
Yeah, and she realized that there was something cool happening there. Because the Costume Institute, it had existed for a while. It was just kind of a low-key kind of
thing. Yeah, it was like in the basement.
Yeah. And just a way to, you know, because New York was a big manufacturing hub for the longest time in the textile industry. And they realized there was a lot of history there, so they started doing it. And then Dan Vreeland had kind of the insight to say, hey,
let's throw a party.
We can make a big deal of this.
Yeah.
With people with a lot of money who love to have their picture taken.
Yeah. People who go to the opening of an envelope.
Yeah, exactly. Who will pay to go to an opening of an envelope.
Yeah.
And then they put on it's a dinner, there's cocktail, you know, like, I forget in the movie, it's like Rihanna performs. Like Katy Perry performs, Aretha Franklin, whatever.
Gaga.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's some big celebrity, and there's a celebrity chair every year, mm-hmm. of somebody who, you know, like the MC's the night.
A Bradley Cooper, a George Clooney, Julie
Carrie
Roberts.
Mulligan, Carrie Mulligan. Whoever, yes.
Yeah.
Who is it this
Lupita
year?
Lupita Nyong'o. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Who it is this year.
I haven't seen it anywhere.
But the theme this year is Comme des Garçons, which is a super iconic clothing brand out of Japan, created and still designed by this super awesome, badass, cool lady named Rei Kawakubo.
Who actually we mentioned in our episode with Jen Kroll, because she was featured in Bad Girls of Fashion book.
She's got this super iconic like triangle hairdo with bangs, and her stuff is like 90% unwearable.
Yeah.
Like the runway stuff. Like it's not actual clothes. But
it is art.
It is
beautiful,
actual art. Weird. Like there was her thing this year was like these weird, was it like the like quilted sleeping bags or something? Oh fuck, I forget what it was this year.
There was
then
it
all
was
the
like
weird shapes.
Exaggerated like
yes,
boobs
like weird
and
pregnancy
butts.
Shapes yeah, and yeah. things
like
and
big
weird
hips
plumps.
And thumbs and
yeah.
We'll have to find a little video of it of the fashion show, because it's not fashion. It is art and it is cool as shit.
it's art for sure. It's the most
so weird.
Some of the most like high art can't argue. This is, I mean, it's still fashion, but you can't argue that it's not art.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. It's impossible. And she would probably tell you the same thing.
Yeah. So yeah, she is really high end stuff. But then also, like you'll see that the brand logo was a little heart with eyes in it. That's the Comme des Garçons, and like she put them on Chuck Taylors, and like she does really basic
t-shirts,
V-neck sweaters and cardigans and stuff, and it's really nice stuff. It's expensive, but it's beautiful, beautiful things. And so she's able to do like kind of minimalist everyday stuff, and then this like crazy intellectual highbrow luxury stuff too. She's managed to bridge both of those things and just be a super cool lady.
Super cool lady, and she's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, it's like 40 years or something. She's been doing this. And it's only the second time that they've had an exhibition for a living designer. Most like they'll do it after the fact or decades later. Like they did a Chanel one in the 90s about Coco Chanel, who died. Coco died in the 80s.
In the 80s,
maybe.
Yeah.
And you know, after Alexander McQueen died, that if you've heard of any one of the Met exhibitions, you've heard of Savage Beauty, which is the big, which was like the most popular.
Oh, I just got a shiver when you said that.
It was the most popular exhibition they'd ever had. People lined up for days.
And it like traveled around the world.
And
yeah,
it traveled around
over,
the world. Because
yeah.
I have the book. Like I got the hardcover. coffee table book of the exhibition because it was so beautiful. And
actually,
the way it was done up.
Yeah, you can still buy that book at the Met. Like,
I bet
all the books and stuff that
or
they have.
Or wherever books are sold, probably.
Yeah, I think I got mine on like Amazon or something.
Like, yeah.
Or Chapters or something. And it's, so that was, but that was after he passed away, and then they put together this
like a
big
retrospective,
this big
kind
retrospective of,
thing, yeah.
Of his whole career and stuff. So, but now they're doing it for somebody who's still alive, and they did it for Yves Saint Laurent in the 80s, and that was the only other time they've done it. So that's very exciting. So I pulled a couple, they have a theme or a person that they're talking about for the exhibition. And you've seen probably in many other, the other documentary, what's the other one?
The Eye Has to Travel?
Eye Has to Travel. And what's the Anna Wintour one with the Vogue?
September issue.
Harold Coda, who was the curator for many, many years. And he's recently stepped down, and Andrew Bolton has recently stepped up. And he's in the first Monday in May documentary. He's a British guy.
Was that the first year he was part of it?
No.
No, he'd been like, he's like second in charge for a long time. Harold Coda was at the top, and now Harold Coda's retired, and he's now the official.
He's that adorable guy with the round glasses and cute little
nerdy British guy. Not little, he's quite tall.
Yeah.
Lanky British man. And he's putting it together, and they can see, you know, if there's a big anniversary of something coming up, or somebody, some big a zeitgeist or something that's happening in culture these
in
days.
The world.
Like, for example, last year's one was the, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, I'm sure, but
Manus Machina,
yeah. And it was about technology and fashion and
how things are changing.
Robots and
things are going from handmade
to machine
to machines and digital programming and that sort of thing, and how technology is affecting and changing the fashion industry, and how it's like this reciprocal relationship between technological developments and then creative input.
Creative input into that technology.
Yeah. Like how they're repurposing technology made for other things, and how they're creating their own technologies for things like laser cutting, 3D printing, that sort of thing. But then also like knitting machines that only have textile purposes. They're not repurposing another technology for something else, something industrial for creative processes. So it was, unfortunately, a lot of people missed the mark and just showed up dressed as robots. That wasn't quite what they had going on.
Yeah.
That was too bad.
Because that's the thing too, is like they have, sometimes these things are like, if it's a person, you're like, if it's a Chanel show, you'll wear Chanel and you look great. And it's a new piece, it's a vintage piece, whatever, it works out. But then some of these things that are more abstract, you're like, Zane from One Direction, you just got the robot arm?
Yeah.
And that's your calling your look?
You got a Versace robot arm?
Yeah, that's it. Kanye West got some blue
contact lenses?
And a bedazzled jacket? Yeah.
Like, that was bad.
And maybe robots bedazzled that jacket. I don't know.
It's possible.
But, and then there's sometimes, like we were going to talk about maybe some of our favorite moments. That was the miss for me. Mind you, that Manus and Machina also
it was
had,
beautiful.
Who was it? Was it Claire Danes that wore the light
up
dress?
The Zach Posen, yeah.
Outstanding.
That was so cool. Very, very, very cool.
Outstanding. Well, again, we'll post pictures of this on the blog. It lit up. It had all these LED lights inside. It was fabulous. Mm-hmm. And then was it Karolina Krukova who had the one, she had a big dress with lights that the more you interacted with her posts on Instagram, it lit up with different colors.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So like it was attached to her social media account and how much traffic she was getting. And then it would change color or intensity depending on how much interactions and like sharing and stuff people had with her. That, and it was a beautiful dress too. It had flowers and appliques and all sorts of stuff on it. It was great.
That is weird. Yeah. I like it. I liked the one, I think it was the same one, or maybe it was the China in 2015. I forget which, but Solange's dress that's like a big sort of
disc.
And it's all pleated really heavily.
Was it Paco Rabanne or something maybe? I forget what it was.
Maybe.
Or who was the guy? Hussein Shalayan?
Hussein Shalayan.
That's the guy.
I didn't understand any of
that. Somebody knew what I was talking about.
It was not me.
But it's an opportunity for people to wear, like, it's not just a red carpet event where you just wear a beautiful, you know, Atelier Versace gown. It's like, no, you can wear something really weird,
real
fucked up, and
wacky.
Interesting.
Like that stupid headdress at
Sarah Jessica Parker.
She wears a bunch of them. Yeah. She
loves putting weird stuff on her head.
But you know what? Fuck, she's got the balls to do it. Go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
She looks great.
Yeah. when you played Carrie Bradshaw, really people expect you to do that kind of shit.
Yeah, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are going to either love it or hate it, and you're never going to find common ground with everyone.
Never.
No. Gives a shit.
I was watching some old episodes of Sex and the City, and there were all the burger episodes.
Barf.
Yeah. Burger sucked.
And I she really wanted to like burger.
She has the little hat on, and he goes, "That hat's stupid." And she goes, "This hat is fabulous." And then like sashays away, and it's so great. He's being such a dick, and she's trying so hard to like be nice to him, and he's just throwing it in her face. And she's got this fucking dumbass fascinator on. It was a stupid hat.
It was a stupid
hat. But she looked great. And like the Met Gala one,
he was just doing a low blow.
He's just doing a super low blow because he's just super insecure.
He's the guy who broke up with her on a fucking post-it.
The scrunchie, the post-it note, motorcycle ride. Anyway, we go on and on. But actually, Sarah Jessica Parker has one of my all-time favorite Met Ball looks. It was one for Anglomania, which was in 2006, and she wore the big Alexander McQueen red plaid.
Yeah.
And it was like all tucked up underneath each other. That's one of my favorite ones. And it was like, it kind of looked like a kilt where they have the sash across.
Yeah.
And a big red plaid. And Alexander McQueen was there too. And he had the same kilt on. And he had a tuxedo jacket and a kilt. And then she in the same plaid. And then she had this big, awesome dress and this huge fucking headpiece. And she looked amazing. And she got to go. And we could segue to this with like Anna Wintour often. Or actually just every year, she'll team a designer with a celebrity or model or somebody.
And they go on a slew of models.
Yes. And they go on, like, they arrive together.
Yeah.
Zach Posen and Claire Danes get teamed up a lot.
Yeah.
Because they're buds.
Katy Perry and, what's his name?
Donatella was there one year, maybe.
Donatella always has, like, Jennifer Lopez and whatever Oscar actress is having buzz that year.
Yeah. Carey Mulligan gets Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
All these like it girls ish.
Jessica Chastain
shows up. Yeah. So they often get paired together. So you'll see the designer, Marc Jacobs, and Kate Moss.
Yeah.
Oh, that stupid fucking gold croissant on her head. Do you remember that from a few years ago?
Oh, yeah.
No. I'm looking it up right now.
She had a beautiful like slinky gold dress, and then she had her hair like kind of in like a French knot, but then wrapped in the same fabric, and it just looked like a weird like space croissant on her head. Anyway. Not one of my favorite looks.
Yep, that's a weird one.
You'll see them walk the runway together, and they get then it's cross promotion. Not that people like Marc Jacobs need more promotion or Kate Moss. Anyway,
but I think it just reinforces the fashion aspect. Like this is a museum and it's a fundraising event, and here's the people that like let you know about the fashions, all the models and the celebrities, and here's the people actually like
doing the work
and design it and work for these companies that. Aren't necessarily
and this whole symbiotic relationship, right, between the people who make the clothes and the people who wear the clothes.
And the media.
And then also the people taking the picture.
Yeah.
And then the people sitting at home judging them on their iPads. Yeah. Yes,
exactly.
Well, when I was in New York a couple of years ago, I got to go to the Charles James exhibition, which was so amazing. Like, it's a neat... it was the only thing I wanted to... I mean, I could have spent 3 days at the Met, no problem. But I knew that I wanted to see this one thing. So I was like, I knew we were going to the Met. I was like, if I'm going to the Met by myself, I don't care. But that's what I'm doing.
I'll make it happen.
I'm doing it. Anyone who wants to join me, you know, have on with it. I'm cool, but that's what I'll be doing. And that's all I did. Like I spent the entire time going through the exhibition and just through the Costume Institute. And I could go back and do it again. No problem. Like,
sure.
There's so much to see. There's so much that if you are kind of a layman and you don't know what you're looking at, they do a really good job of making it...
Breaking it down
and explaining it. And if you know what you're looking at in terms of construction or fabric or how much, you know,
historical
the meters
context
of fabric, all of it, then it's almost more amazing.
Sure.
Depending on the exhibition and what you're actually looking at.
Sure,
what
your taste is, too, you know.
Like, I'm not insanely crazy about Charles James and couture and stuff. I mean, the
giant
gowns, everything
gowns
is amazing. It's beautiful, but it's not, you know, in my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not as if I was a designer, it's not where my head would go. But the technical aspects of what he did is unbelievable.
It, I remember showing pictures of it, like they're showing the insides, like x-rays of dresses. And
they had,
and like,
they had like a light that would show... basically an x-ray and like where all the boning and where all the like hard structured pieces of the gown were to support it all and how it all came together. And they would they would have a gown.
Giant, bustly, huge, like you're taking up like a five, six foot radius in the room. This isn't like a slinky
dresses, there were like huge 60 meters of fabric.
Yeah.
In a single.
And then they have all that engineering and structure underneath. It's all hidden under, you know, 50 yards of fabric.
Mm-hmm. It was so, so, so cool. So I'm sure, you know, with any of these exhibitions, depending on the background of the designer or the what they're trying to convey in the exhibition itself,
mm-hmm.
that they do a really, really good job. Like I wish I could have, you know, seen more. Like I wish, how cool would have been to the one last year, the Manus Machina. I don't know how to say it. Am I saying it wrong?
Manus Machina.
Machina. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, sounds great. Pretentious.
Robots.
Just say robot. Fashion robots.
It's fine. Or the one that they show in the first Monday in May, all about China and how the, you know, the Eastern influence and
in Western fashion.
That's, you know, as soon as white people discovered that Asia existed.
Yeah.
You know, for hundreds and thousands of years, this is happening. The people bringing back silk and weaving and, you know, styles and, you know, and the fine line between appropriation
and appreciation
and appreciation and that sort of thing. And that was a hard line for them to walk, I think. And they worked in conjunction with the Chinese embassy, and they went to China and talked to artists and the government there and tried to make sure that they were, you know, above board, not being super racist about it, which is how the fashion industry has done it pretty much entirely up till now.
and still continues to be so.
Yeah, exactly. Still not totally out of the woods yet. But then showing how different designers have used different, you know, chinoiserie and orientalism and that sort of thing from, you know, Poiret was doing it in the 20s and then Galliano was doing it the 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And everything in between. And it's just, you know, it's not just the clothing, it's the history, it's the people, it's the technology. It's like, it's such a comprehensive take on what it takes to make clothes and how they're used and appreciated. And
because clothes are such a part of people's culture.
Yeah.
From regardless of where you fit within that culture, or within that economy, mm-hmm. or within that aristocracy or peasantry or whatever, you can learn so much about a culture by the clothes that they wear.
Mm-hmm.
And China is a huge country with millions and millions and millions of people. So
thousands of years of history.
And trying to sort of figure out how you can tackle this huge, huge topic into what, 100 garments, however many they put in the display.
A whole bunch of rooms in a building in New York City.
Yeah.
You know?
Impossible.
It's great. So, and I mean, there's things like they do specific designers. I think after Gianni Versace died, they did a big Versace one. After, you know, they did a Chanel one. They do a Balenciaga one. And then they'll do like, there was one like the costumes of Royal India and like how the British and India were connected for so long and how that worked out. And
They did a punk one. That one I would have loved to have gone to.
That one, I was so excited. This was a few years, not that, 2013 they did it, the punk one. I was super stoked when I heard that was the theme. And then nobody fucking did any cool stuff.
No.
Like all the outfits were so boring.
Just did like smoky eyes, spiky hair, and
put some studs.
Black.
Put some studs on your clutch and call it a day.
Some fake tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, no, this is something you could have had so much fun with. And there is a super interesting relationship between punk and regular and high street fashion, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, and how they feed off of each other and how they're a reaction to each other, but then how they're totally entwined together, and it has such a specific aesthetic to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Sienna Miller just put on a leather jacket part your hair on the side.
Fucking lazy.
So boring. I know, that one is too bad,
but I think Sarah Jessica Parker did like a cool like mohawk headpiece.
Yeah,
it was also pretty.
Yeah, that one was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
But yeah, most of them were super boring.
I'm like, this sometimes.
Oh yeah, and Miley Cyrus did that awful
spiky
Marc Jacobs.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Was that the year that Madonna did the whole boobs and butt out?
Oh yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, for sure, we posted a picture of that one. And who was that? Was that like a Guesquier? Maybe, I forget who she was working with that outfit, but it was fully like a lace, like covered from neck to ankle, but like then cutouts where her boobs and her butt was.
Yeah. Oh no, that was a different one.
That was a different one, maybe.
Yeah, no, that for the for this one she had that like I don't know who it was, but it was like a plaid suit jacket with a tiny little skirt and boobs out, obviously, but like fishnets, and
maybe
it wasn't that bad.
Maybe
it was
Westwood or something. Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Who was one of
the purveyors of punk fashion?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. She pretty much invented high-end punk.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much between her and my favorite Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Yes,
they basically put that whole thing on the map.
Yeah, put it on a runway. Put it on the runway.
Yep. Definitely.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of other things. I was just like, yeah, that Madonna outfit. I was trying to review some other ones.
You can really go down a rabbit hole.
Ooh, if you these just have been happening for a long time.
Google Met Gala red carpet and see in 6 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
The most iconic outfit ever is Cher wearing the Bob Mackie ostrich feather dress with the sequins.
Yeah.
And it's completely see-through and she looks amazing.
She's awesome. And she's there with Bob Mackie, of course. Yeah.
And then,
I wanted to do that for my Cher outfit for Halloween, but I didn't have enough time.
And then 2 years ago, Beyonce and Kim Kardashian did the same, basically the same dress. And everyone's like, oh, it's so amazing. It's so new. And it was like, no, nah, like, fucking
please.
Cher did this
like 30 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You didn't invent fashion, Beyonce.
You didn't invent Cher dress with a bunch of jewels on it.
Kanye.
Whatever
your dumb name is.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's been some dumb. Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, there's hits and misses. I mean, Carey Mulligan wore like, it was like a Prada. There was a Prada retrospective. It was Prada and Schiaparelli in the same show. And she had like this cool fish scale metallic dress. It was like silver on the top and gold on the bottom. It was outstanding. Simple dress. It was short. It had two colors. It has like a halter top and an A-line skirt. Oof. And it was amazing. And then you'll have like the big giant Rihanna in that Guopay chartreuse gold thing that weighs out 60 pounds and takes 10 people to hold, you know, help her up the stairs.
And it's sort of unclear if she's wearing anything underneath it at all.
Yeah. But she is just like precariously holding it shut, like over... Yeah. Herself over the shoulder, Rihanna, over the shoulder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Work.
Yeah. So there's definitely an opportunity to wear all kinds of things.
But they're always fun. Like there's always lots of opinions to be had about the red carpet, especially the Met.
It's a very whimsical atmosphere. It's not like another like an award show or Cannes or Film Festival or something where it's kind of a little bit serious.
Yeah.
You're there promoting something specific and you have a job to do and you're there to be seen and yada yada yada. This is like it's a party
and you're here to throw some money around.
You're here to celebrate it and you're here to raise $12 million or whatever it is.
Like nine to thirteen million dollars is usually what they end up. Which is insane.
Every year.
I guess you just call the richest and most famous and most beautiful people and they have the most money.
There's a lot.
And that's how you fund your whole year.
Yeah, there you go. And you can afford to do these exceptional and huge, and I can't even like just imagine how much money these things cost, right? To put these on. Because it's not just a bunch of mannequins in a room.
Well, I like that part.
Like it's a whole thing.
Wing,
they rebuild the entire thing and there's props and lighting and water features and they commission work from artists and things. Like, it's
I like that
huge
part
undertaking.
In The Eye Has to Travel, when Diana Vreeland sort of is given the post at the Met.
The museum, yeah.
And everyone was like, pretty nervous because it's all, up until that point, it was very staunch. Yeah, and all the garments and stuff were like under glass and, you know, tightly
over
hidden
here
away.
And it was and, over there.
And you don't, yeah, they don't come out of the boxes unless it's a very controlled, and you know, like it doesn't, they're not being played with or anything like that.
No.
And then she came in and was like, we want to see this. Like, pull it out. Like, put it on the mannequin.
Make it a story.
Yeah. Make it a whole thing. Like, let's recreate Versailles.
Yeah.
You know, a ballroom of Versailles and put it in the wing. And let's, you know, go back to the Belarus and talk about Russian ballet and how influential it has been across, you know, X, Y, and Z.
And it was a great opportunity to kind of marry museum exhibitions and like visual merchandising.
Yeah.
Without the goal of selling, right? Like just the goal of like creating vignettes, like you would see in a window of mannequins interacting with each other. And there's a story and a narrative and an idea behind it. It's not just them standing, looking forward, blue dress, red dress, green, like whatever. Like there's a whole
and the irony of
process
them,
behind it.
Of the whole museum being like a place of restoration and reverence and, you know,
yeah.
You know, being stoic and quiet and cold.
Objective and, and clinical with it.
And then putting all of these clothes out on
injecting
display.
Some life.
And making a shitload of money for the museum as a whole.
Yeah.
From this event. Like, it was, I mean, pretty genius of Diana Vreeland to basically not take no for an answer.
Yeah, exactly. And just do whatever the fuck she wanted.
Whatever she wanted.
Yeah, just bulldoze her way through.
But
yeah,
it was probably the biggest, one of the biggest legacies.
Her whole career.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
like, oh,
so
you want me to do that? I'm going to do it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it got her fired from two of the biggest publications. And then she found a great spot where they, you know, they could encourage her to do it.
But exactly. I mean, like any major fashion image after the 60s, you can trace back inspiration to anything she did at Harper's or Vogue.
Her signature's on it.
Yeah. Like her influence on the world of fashion is undenial.
We haven't done an episode just about her.
Give me
an excuse to watch She Has to Travel again.
Yeah.
I've already seen it like four times and I'll totally
watch all of her old interviews.
Yes.
Oh God.
One simply died.
To be a surfer. To be between the sky and the sea.
Patron saint.
Yes.
Diana Vreeland.
Absolutely. Oh man. Well, maybe we can wrap it up.
And everyone should go home and watch The First Monday in May.
And The Eye Has to Travel.
And The Eye Has to Travel, obviously.
Yeah. And the September issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't already.
And just Google Diana Vreeland or do a YouTube of Diana Vreeland interviews and watch those because it'll make you happy.
She is a captivating woman.
Oh God, she's amazing.
She's like the kind of woman that if it was your like mother-in-law, you would be horrified.
Oh yeah, you'd be terrified.
But any other kind of relationship you might have with her outside of like a familial one.
But if she was like your husband's maiden aunt, she'd be your favorite person.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She wouldn't, you wouldn't want to work for her. You'd want to work adjacent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have access to her, but not actually be under.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Same with Anna, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Anna doesn't have the charm necessarily.
No.
Or the creative.
That outgoing sort of bursting of personality. Yeah. And it's quite
business minded.
Gets shit done, man.
She's got those square bangs. Yes. They do not fuck around.
Speaking of fuck around, we're going to go fuck around for a minute and then we'll be back.
And then we'll
come
be
right back and obsessions. Obsess.
All right, we're back.
It's time for obsessions, you guys.
And now we can obsess. I'll go first because it's real quick.
Yep, let's do it.
And it's real dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we do it here. And I know I'm super late to the game, and I'm not even totally in the game because I'm only doing like part of the game.
Is it Downton Abbey?
Finger on the balls. No, Snapchat filters.
Oh,
I have never converted. I think I've messaged Dave once, like an actual Snapchat where like you send it to somebody. I have the app and all I do is the filters and just like play with like the bunny ears and like.
I knew you would love that shit when they started doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have no desire to like actually do the whole sending thing. And receiving and checking and stuff. I still don't really understand how it works. I understand it a little bit. I just haven't actually gone through the steps to create one. Do it. Think of it. Send it. Well, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But you can save the pictures?
Yeah, you just save it to your camera roll. And you make videos of you, like, with a grilled cheese head or whatever.
Yeah.
A cob of corn. But there's one. And then plus, my daughter loves it. Funny faces on your phone, mama. And it keeps her occupied for a long time. Some of the ones, she's like, I don't like that one. They're, like, weird. Like, they, like, make your nose super big. And then there's other ones where you're, like, a bunny or something. And she really likes those. And they make your voice high, really high and cute, and you talk. There was one where there was a meerkat, and you just got to be its mouth. And it's just this little video three-second video of a meerkat just, like, looking around. And then it puts your eyes in your mouth. And then Margot did it. She goes, I'm in a little tree. I'm a wiener cat.
Oh my god.
It's a meerkat. She goes, I'm a wiener.
And save to camera roll.
Yes, and we're saving that one.
Yeah.
But there's one that I cannot get enough of.
Is it the giant mouth one?
Yes. Oh my god. Anybody, anytime, I don't care. I love it so much. I posted a picture recently of me. Like, I did like a slideshow on Instagram. It's like one kid, another kid, and then me with this, yeah. stupid big mouth filter on. I love it so. Like, I literally do it every single day. It's because the Snapchat filters, like, they give you like a dozen, and nine of them are the same most of the time, and then they'll cycle through different ones or weird ones and
promotional ones.
Promotional ones and stuff. And that's one of the ones that's always there. Like, it's one of the standard ones. So, like, every day. And I make Margot do it, too. I make my two-year-old do it. I was at a comedy show a couple weeks ago. And Kevin, my friend Kevin, hadn't seen it. And he did it, and I couldn't even hold the phone. Like, I could not handle it. And then my other friend, Tony, was standing next to me. And I can't even go outside and get some air because I'm hyperventilating. Just let me have a paper bag because I'm dying. So, big mouth Snapchat filter. Super obsessed.
It is such a weird concept that has just taken the world by storm, apparently.
Oh, my God. Like, I remember it was a few years ago, not that long ago, Dave had this app on his phone, and it was a baboon. And it was the same kind of technology. Like, it was just a picture of a baboon, and it put your eyes in your mouth. Not even. I think it had its own eyes and mouth. And you talked into it. And then, like, you'd say, hi, I'm a monkey. And then it would say, hi, I'm a monkey. And it was hilarious. And we'd make it swear and, like, make fart jokes and stuff. And it was hilarious.
Oh my God.
But it wasn't your face or it was your
face? No, it was just the monkey face.
Oh, weird.
But it would open the mouth, like, very, like, crudely.
Right.
To kind of match what you had just recorded into it. And now, and that was the whole app. And took up a bunch of space on your phone and only did this one tiny thing. And now this Snapchat has like a dozen different ones and you can send messages and add colors. And like the forward facing camera does something different than the rear facing camera. And like, technology's come a long way, you guys.
How fun would it be
face technology.
To work for that company and just come up with dumb ideas for filters?
Oh my God. That's great. You
probably have to do a bunch of drugs and just sit around and write down every idea you have.
Get real nice and baked. And just get a notepad.
We're going to put your face in the middle of a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll put some kiss makeup on this motherfucker.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, it's great.
Banana head. Big mouth.
There is a banana head.
Is there a banana head?
Yeah. You get little eyes and legs.
Big teeth, small mouth.
Big teeth, small mouth.
Oh, if only. All right. Well, that's mine. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. Mine's pretty predictable.
Downton Abbey?
No. Downton Abbey. It was real good. I appreciated all the texts that I received from both of you guys about the finale and the ending of it all, and you about whichever dress that Mary was wearing in this and that or whatever.
Yeah.
That was nice. Good it times. Really helped me through. But no, fucking Planet Earth, too.
Oh.
I've been like, where can we find this? Where are we going to be able to get it? It's on iTunes for like
amazing.
$18 for the entire
thing.
Like, if you were going to go and buy the original Planet Earth, it's like $90 for them all.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
$18 for all of them. I have them on my computer forever.
Anytime you want. Exactly.
Oh. Have you guys watched any of them yet?
I can't do it.
I can't. I find it really dull.
Do it.
What?
I find it very emotionally difficult to get through.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to watch as someone who is a super... animal lover. I love animals, all kinds, all the time. I can't watch nature documentaries. I haven't been able to watch one in like 15 years.
Are you serious?
And people keep talking about Planet Earth. I was literally talking about this the other day on like a Facebook group, and all I hear is, no, Abby, no.
It's so good. It's so well done. David Attenborough.
I don't know, the emotional roller coaster. I'm like literally clutching like my shirt. I don't. If I had pearls, they would be clutched right now. Like just the anxiety of watching, like the fucking thing with the lizard
being chased by the snake.
Being chased by the snakes nearly killed me.
Oh my God, nearly killed me as well. That one.
Do you
is
ever
a
see something
high stakes
get,
operation?
Get
but
all the time.
No, not all the time.
See, I'm picturing just like. Making you get emotionally invested with like baby monkeys and then having them all be in my crocodiles.
No, no, yeah. no, 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 no. It's not like that.
Okay.
No. You should give it a
but,
chance.
But okay. A cheetah does chase like an antelope.
Maybe wildebeest or something and
yeah.
takes it down.
And takes it down. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're not really wrong, but it's not like, that's not
You're
what the
You're rooting
whole...
for the cheetah, Evan.
Oh my God.
There's so much more to it.
I guess it is
predator prey.
The circle of life.
It is the circle of life. But they also, just, especially
can,
in the
it,
second
one. I can imagine
one,
it looks beautiful. And
it's so beautifully produced and photographed.
Yeah.
And narrated and edited. But there is also a really strong message of like, climate change, you idiots. Yeah. Like, get your shit together because mm-hmm. this is a
stuff's
crumbling.
Actually happening.
Yeah, this is a real
It's not a
issue.
Concept now, it's a thing.
Like the ones on like the coastal seas ones yeah. on the first one are fucking so good. And yes, you do get emotionally invested, but it's not like you're watching a you know, baby monkey being, you know, caught by a pack of cheetahs and like Rip I mean apart. Some of it yeah. is some of it's a little bit there's a few that are pretty much, but for the most part, it's so good. And it's animals that you don't ever get to see.
We have no attachment to.
Like, I am not interested in zoos. I think zoos are horrible and yeah. the worst. Go watch Planet Earth and it is...
It'll give you that.
It'll give
feel
you
that. Void in you.
It's like the thing that I put on when I don't really feel like deciding what to watch. Like, I don't sure. really want to invest in like a new...
Yeah.
Like, am I going to like this yeah. or am I not? How long do I have to sit through this before I decide I do or don't like it? I just yeah. know for sure whatever is on, if it's narrated by David Attenborough, I'm going to
You're
enjoy it. They're so good. They're so, so, so good. We watched a few of them. I was home for Easter and we watched a few with my niece and nephew. And it was like, can we watch the deserts? Like, can we watch the mountains? Watch the mountains. And it was awesome. And so they're like enraptured.
Yep.
And then there'll be like kind of a scary part and like, you know, my niece will have to just like, no, no, like this part, it will cover her eyes because, you know, the music changes and it's a
yeah.
little spookier
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's real serious.
Yeah. Or it'll be darker nighttime or something. And
the deep sea one, I watched the deep sea one and I think that just like terrified me.
The deep sea one is spooky. But it's like another, it's like being
We know
in
more
outer
about space.
Space
and we know more about deep sea. The deep sea is terrifying.
The yes, deserts one is my favorite, I think.
Interesting.
Give it a shot.
I'd have to give it a shot.
I'll walk you through it if you okay. need. I've seen all of them. The new ones, I've only watched them once.
Yeah.
But so the I'm only one time through.
Yeah.
The other ones I have basically committed to memory.
That and so. Harry Potter's taking up a lot of brain.
A lot of space.
Yeah.
But I draw on it a lot. So I'm happy it's
it all
there.
The time. It's used information.
Yes. Yes. It's valuable.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, but, I'm going to reconsider my documentary stance.
I know, and Chris is like... Chris
Even like those Disney ones, like they made a bear one and they made a monkey one. Uh-huh. I can't.
I don't think I could do
that. And
the
like,
Disney
it's ones. For a 3-year-old. Like if it's safe for a 5-year-old to watch, I could probably handle it. But even then...
The birds, like the... They have these birds that are...
I don't even like birds.
Birds are fucking genuine weirdos, for one thing. They are hella weird.
They're the eccentrics of the bird, of the animal world.
Oh my God, they are next level. But like, there's one where there's like this flock of flamingos in like Peru, like the highest, like super alkaline, salty lake high up in Peru. But they're all mating, so they do this like little weird dance where they all get together and flock together, and they oh. just walk around and do this like weird little dance. It's
Cover
amazing.
Girl.
It's yes,
put the bass in yo walk.
Yes, I want to see. I want to see like a RuPaul narrated version of
oh,
this.
Oh, RuPaul,
unbelievable.
RuPaul doing a narration of an episode
Planet
of Planet Earth.
Oh, the world needs this. It's so good. And then
or
there's
can
bears
I, can
scratching
I have
themselves.
The guy, can I have the guy who does the honey badger? Can I have that guy do yes. the narration? Because that guy.
That would be good, too.
If Dad, you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. My dad's
Honey
recently
don't give
obsessed.
A shit.
You don't give a shit. And there's actually a whole bunch of other like joke ones on YouTube that are great.
Chris and I have a very insensitive joke about honey badgers. And when you see people in the street, like homeless people or can collectors or whatever, and they just are out in the street because that's their home.
That's
they
where,
don't
yep.
have a home to go to, and they don't give two shits about you and your car getting to your job or wherever pizza place you're going to for dinner. But when they're just out in the street, they're like, oh, check out this honey badger, because he don't give a shit where about anything.
No.
He does not give a single shit. This is a honey badger.
No it's fucks
not,
to give.
It's not a very nice joke, but
apt.
It is apt. Yeah. It does make sense.
My dad's like months away from retirement, so he's the honey badger of his office because he don't give a fuck. fuck anymore.
I can imagine.
It's literally months away from retiring. So he's just bad.
Hang in there. Hang in there, Ian. It's
sharpening all
there.
The pencils.
Yep.
Lining his pockets with staplers.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Moving on.
Close us out. What do you got?
Yesterday,
give us some high end. Give us some highbrow.
Oh, it's slightly intellectual and highbrow.
So where we got?
I was gonna say we got anything big mouth and... from Snapchat filters. No, we're doing okay. I'm setting the bar pretty low.
I watched this 1968 documentary called The Queen, and it's about a drag pageant in New York in like the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh wow!
It's basically like the predecessor to Paris is Burning.
Yeah,
cool.
And the documentary is from then, too?
It's from then.
Okay.
It was made then.
Okay.
So, basically, it starts with all of these drag queens arriving in New York from all over the states. Like, there's, like, Miss Fire Island, Miss Baltimore, Miss Philadelphia, Miss Los Angeles. Like, and all of these queens are showing up for this huge national drag pageant in New York.
Wow.
And, there's...
Wow, that is some underground shit in 1968.
There's an appearance from Miss Pepper LaBeija.
Oh!
From the legendary house of LaBeija.
Mm-hmm.
Her drag mother, Crystal LaBeija, is in the pageant as Miss Manhattan.
Oh my God.
Dang.
And
is Dorian Corey in it?
Dorian Corey is not in it.
Mm.
She's a shady bitch.
Oh, Dorian Corey. Have we talked about Dorian Corey and how she had the
body,
mummified
dead body?
Body the dead body?
No, I think we talked about that specifically.
Guys, go watch Paris is Burning. Put it on after you watch the other three films we told you to go watch. Paris is Burning. In fact, if you go back to episode one of this podcast,
we'll talk about it.
I think that was my obsession.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I just watched it for the first time after.
And she's figured prominently in Paris is Burning. And then like years later, we find out that.
After she died,
they go into an apartment and there's like this fucking mummified corpse that has been in the floor.
Yeah.
Who knows how long.
Who knows?
Amongst enough her to be mummified.
Her racks and racks of drag. It's just like a mummified body.
Like, I want...
No one. Like,
I want to know.
The bitch is dead. So like, what the fuck are they going to do? Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm so curious about it. The true crime fan in me is like, what is
went
the
on?
Story?
Salivating.
Yeah. Who is this guy?
Like all
everyone
have
been underground. Like
it was
not
just
a...
like, it was like a date gone wrong.
Yeah.
Probably.
And
where
how
this
do
guy
you...
probably got a little physical and Dorian was not here for it.
Yeah.
And just ended him.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Okay, yeah, but this documentary, The Queen, like, there's so many one-liners in this thing. I cannot fucking tell you. Like, it's an amazing portrait as to what it was like to be a gay man in the 60s, like, pre-AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
And...
Right. And so stigmatized.
So
marginalized.
Yeah. Like, there's a scene where they're talking about when they came out to their families, or even if they came out to their families.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so beautiful, and like they're all just so matter of fact about it, and like this segment of the gay community, like the drag community, is just like even within the gay community back then, the drag queens were seen as like a lesser part of the community,
and yet so much of the
identity
the movement forward for gays in terms of equal rights and just recognition is because of drag queens in the drag community.
And trans community. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, oh God, there's like the ending of it is just like once the queen of America has been crowned, there's
so much
drama. It's just like her makeup was terrible. She'll never make it in New York.
Right.
She better get the hell back to Philadelphia.
I just was watching clips or trailers this morning of Tu Wong Fu.
Yeah.
Oh, gotta watch that beautiful movie again. Fuck, it's so good. And then Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
You are just a boy in a dress.
A cock and a frock on a rock.
Yeah.
Again, more required reading.
Yes. Drag has given us so much, but we have not given a lot back to drag.
No, we have not.
We've taken a lot from drag, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Support your local queens. Tip your drag queens.
Go to a drag queen show. If you've never gone to a show, fucking go to a show.
Find the show in your local area.
They're there.
They are there.
Yes.
Yeah. They're there.
Trixie Mattel likes to say, if you if you liked drag but you only watch Drag Race, it's like liking music but only watching American Idol. Mm. Support your local drag.
There you go. Good point.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. That's definitely a step up from Big Mouth filters and
animal. And the whole thing is on YouTube.
Death.
Just do the Queen.
How do we get a hold of it?
Oh, nice.
The Queen, even better.
1968. Watch it. Watch it. Devour it. Masticate it. Watch it again.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just
beautiful.
I'm probably gonna go and watch it again tonight.
There you go.
Pre the finale of Feud.
Yes.
Priorities.
Priorities.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Before we wrap it up, order your goddamn t-shirt.
No, there's not much time left. So get on it. There's still some available. So check out the site. It's thehagshop.ticktail.com. You can also just go to fashionhagspodcast.com and all the links and everything will be there.
Redirected. Absolutely.
Just keep in mind that shipping won't happen until probably the first week of May, so you're not going to get it right away. It'll take a little while because all the orders, we have to wait for all the orders to come in, and then we place the order, and then they get made, and then they get shipped. So you're not going to get it on your doorstep the next day. This is not Amazon.
But it's coming.
Yeah.
Katie's got a very thorough spreadsheet.
We've got a lot to do, but go place orders, and we're so excited for this all to come together and see everybody with their new shirts. Yes. I cannot wait.
It's so great.
So yeah, get on it. And make sure you know your size as well, because they'll all be made specifically like for you. So check the size. There's a size chart
measurements
there.
Measurements and stuff are all on the website.
Find a all shirt that, information. That you like, that you know the fit of, and maybe measure it against that one to compare. That's probably the easiest way.
Yeah, good
if you're
point.
Not used to measuring.
Yeah.
Just lay it out flat. But yeah, get on it. Hagshop, ticktail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you can reach out and get a hold of us in all of the usual ways, fashionhags@gmail, fashionhagspod on Twitter, and fashionhagspodcast on Instagram.
Yeah.
Reach out to us that way. We love that. If you haven't liked our page on Facebook, please go ahead and do that as well. We'll do another Facebook Live event sometime in the next little while.
Fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun. And if you guys...
Thanks to Dave.
Thanks to Michelle. Dave.
Thanks
to Chris for
everybody
who helps. Artwork, all that shit.
Thanks to Squarespace.
Yeah. Sure. Send us some money. Write us a check.
I want to take a minute to talk about Squarespace.
I got this mattress recently. Slept on it for 100 days. Then sent it back.
We can sleep on the Boll & Branch sheets.
Anyway. Love you guys. We love you more in our t-shirts.
That's true.
That is true. There's only one thing we love more than you guys.
We love fashion more.
Bye.
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 Fashion.